where we were looking at the church, the called out. And last week we explored exactly what the church is, an assembly. It is one that is called out of the world. And we recognize that because we are called out, then we are distinct. We spent last week discussing the fact that we, the church, the called out, that we are called out by Christ. Jesus Christ has called us. In fact, he himself says, come, I will give you rest. And we recognize that this call comes through the gospel. So while there are heavenly beings existing, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has so set things in motion that he calls us by the gospel. He does not call us by angels, though angels are active in the work of the church. As much as Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit is the centric part of our being, the spread of the gospel is not by Jesus Christ, but the spread and the treasure is in us, the earthen vessel. And so it is that we, recognizing that the gospel is the gospel of Christ, that we recognize and we should recognize, like the apostles before us, that the gospel of Christ is really our gospel, because we are there to share the gospel of Christ. Think and pause a little, and you will recognize that if somebody else had not embraced the gospel of Christ and shared it, then we would not have been exposed to it. So let us not be selfish. Let us not be lazy and not join in the sharing of the gospel. So called out, the called out was called out by Jesus Christ. We want to explore today the called out of what? What are we called out of? Well, I think 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 tells us in a clear way what that is all about. The called out of what? According to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10, it says,
But you
are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. And holy nation.
Pause a sec. We're getting into the of what, but we are getting another picture, another angle at exactly who we are, who we the called out are. And we are, what inspiration is saying to us is that as the called out, you are no longer ordinary. It says we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. Continue.
A holy nation.
We are a holy nation.
A peculiar people.
People peculiar. Not weird, but peculiar.
That ye should show forth.
That ye should show forth.
The praises of
the
him.
The praises of him.
Who hath called you out of darkness.
Are you seeing it? Who hath called you out. What are we talking about? The church, the called out. And we are seeing the called out, the church. And that's why we say the church is not the building. It is a called out group of people. And we are being described as royal priesthood, a generation chosen, a peculiar people, that we may show forth the praises of him
who hath called you out of that.
He has called us out of darkness. And again, we are seeing the emphasis by whom we are called. It is Jesus Christ who has called us out of darkness. And so here we are seeing of what we are called out. We are called out of darkness into
his marvelous light.
Into his marvelous light. Not just light, but marvelous light. And so we are getting that image. We are seeing that picture that we were in darkness, but God has called us out of that state into a state of light. And it is on this that we want to focus our attention, because we need to recognize as God's children that we cannot continue in darkness having been called out of darkness. We cannot continue in a state where we are in error, where we continue to be like everybody else, or we continue to be in the state that we were before, because we have been called out. You know, if we step back to the first part of the chapter, you know, it says, wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking, what that is saying to us is that now that we are the called out, these things should be behind us, because we are called out of darkness. So perish the thought that, alas, I am now a Christian. Alas, I have been brought to light. I am okay. I can just rock easy now because Christ has paid it all. You know, it's Christ paid it all, so there's nothing else to do. Everything is all right. Debt settled. We must recognize that we have been called into a state, and we are going to recognize and learn that where we are is not a static state. It is a state where we continually move. But let me not go there yet. So what are we seeing back at verse 9 and 10? Well, verse 9, that we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10.
Which in time past.
In time past. So we are seeing here that the state of darkness is something that when we reflect on it, we should be saying, in time past. The time of darkness or the state of darkness is not something that should be mentioned of us now that we are in a state of light. Which in time past
were not a people.
What a thing. We were not a people,
but are now the people.
But we are now the people of God. You know, like we move from a state of nobody to somebody-ness. That's what God has done for us. We were not a people, but we are now a people. Read.
Which had not obtained mercy.
We had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. So here we are seeing that's what we are called out of. We are the called out, but the called out of what? We are called out of darkness. But we can't talk about darkness without talking about light. Because it is important that we recognize that there's no man's land. what do you mean? You know, we spoke about and prayed for Ukraine and Russia, and you know, we listen to international news and we hear about war, and you usually hear about this no man's land. So it is where the war path is set, but there is a gap where here is one set of fighters and here's another, but in the middle there's a no man's land where is that's a neutral place. Well, I'm here to say to us that there is no man's land. We are either in darkness or we are in light. We may think we have transitioned from darkness to light. We may have gone into the light, but have stepped back into the darkness. But there is no man's land. Well, let's get a picture of light. In St. John chapter 1 and verse 15, verse 1 to 5, we had that read earlier. Let's pick up at verse 3.
All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made was made.
Pick up at verse 1. Let's get the context. Read.
In the beginning was the Word.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God.
Yes.
And the Word was God.
So we are talking about Jesus Christ. Read.
The same was in the beginning.
The same was in the beginning with God.
All things were made by him.
All things were made by him.
And without him.
And without him.
Was not anything made that was made. In him was life.
Look at this. In him was life. In who? In Jesus Christ is life. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In him, Jesus Christ, was life. And the life
was the light of men.
It is Jesus Christ who has given us life and is the light of men. Jesus Christ does not coexist in darkness. In Jesus Christ, there is no darkness at all. And so, as his children, we cannot be his children and continue in the way of darkness. This is the call for change. Because a lot of times, by influences, though we have come into the church, it's almost like we want to hold on to darkness. And it's almost like sometimes we get selective and say, well, you know, I am now a child of God and I know I ought to behave a particular way, but we still hold on to some of the practices of darkness. We become members of the church, and among the things we learn is that we ought not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But what do? Well, we convince ourselves that we can be like those in darkness and we are just visitors. So we come once in a while. That's an action of darkness. And I just picked that out because we made reference earlier to envying and malice and all of those practices that are not associated with light but are with darkness. In St. John chapter 8 and verse 12, we get another insight into what light is and the expectation that God has of us in respect to light and darkness. It says, verse 12 of chapter 8, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying,
I am the light of the
I
world.
I am the light of the world.
He that followeth me.
He that followeth me.
Shall not walk in darkness.
Shall not walk in darkness.
But shall have the light of life.
Are you seeing it, brethren? When we are following Jesus Christ, we do not walk in darkness. You cannot be following the light and then walk in darkness. And here we said it before, and we'll be saying it again, that our state of being the called out is not a static state. It is one that is continuous. It is one that is constant. It is one that where there's a continual nature about it. It is fluid. It is active. It is happening. And so let's read it again. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying,
I am the light of the world.
I am the light of the world.
He that followeth me.
He that followeth me.
Shall not walk in darkness.
Shall not walk in darkness. There are some things here. You know, it is probably for... I still continue to like the King James Version. You know, I will accept that there are modern translations that speaks closer to how we speak today. You know, because we do not speak, you know, thou and ye, you know. But there's one particular thing I like about the King James Version and the language, that old language, is that word, well, that appendage to the word where we have. Can I see that? All right, let's go again. Can I call that F? That ETH shows the continuous nature of the verb. And we saw it here. Read again. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying,
I am the light.
I am the light of the world.
He that followeth me.
He that follow me. That, you know, that's how we would speak. Eh? He that follow me. But I like how the King James used the word ETH, the segment of the word ETH. And what it means is that it continues. And so when it says, he that followeth me, so we get a clearer picture that it is not sufficient to follow. But it is an imperative. It is a must that we continue to follow. So we cannot sit back and say, well, you know, I became a Christian 5 years ago. You know, I followed Christ. Well, you followed him 5 years ago. Are you following him now? You know, the tense is important. It is not that I am the called out, I am a Christian, and I am working to start following him. That's future. What we are seeing here is the continuous nature that we should continue to follow. And so let us never ring on our previous successes, what I used to do. Let us not, as much as we are work in progress, that at some point I will start doing. It is what I am doing now, and the extent to which I will continue to do so. So it says, I am the light of the world.
He that followeth me.
He that continues to follow me.
Shall not walk in darkness.
Are you seeing the words? I've really slowed down to make sure that we are getting it. that followeth is continuous. But notice that our journey with Jesus Christ is not one where I am static. Tell me if I'm misrepresenting inspiration. He that followeth me shall not stand in darkness. Stand? I think it's purposeful that the word stand was not used here. But the word walk. And you know what the idea is? We are in motion. When we take a picture, we take a snapshot. This is where I am right now. Click. That's where I am now. Click. But God is more interested in our ongoing motion. That we are in motion. We are continuing. And so he speaks about follow, continue. And now he's speaking about walking. But here it is talking about it in a negative sense. Shall not walk in light, in darkness, but rather in light. And that's really the contrast. Because to say to walk in light. And so that is what God expects of us, Jesus Christ. He's expecting us to continue our journey in light. But he shall have the light of life. That is what, when we are called out of darkness, it's not that we are called out of darkness and we don't know where we are. We are called into light. Into his marvelous light. So do we get that picture? Well, let's look also at St. John chapter 3 and verse 19. And I think once I touch that, we would have gotten enough insight into light. But we will come back to that continue, because I think that's the clincher in respect to what we need to hold on to or take away from the lesson today. That we cannot be comfortable being in a static state. And worse when we start going in the wrong direction. So St. John chapter 3 and verse 19 says,
and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil.
You know, we are sort of used to reading St. John chapter 3 and verse 16, you know. So let's not spoil the tradition. All right, let's pick up at verse 16.
For God so loved the world.
For God so loved the world.
That he gave his only begotten son.
He gave his son, his only son, Jesus Christ.
That whosoever believeth in him,
that whosoever believeth in him,
should not perish, but have everlasting life.
You know, I think it's a good thing that this is a passage that is introduced to young ones early, because it is a powerful truth. In fact, in this envelopes the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died for us, and we should never forget this. But it also tells us that we have escaped punishment, that we should not perish but have everlasting life. Read verse 17. For God
sent not his son
into the world
to condemn the world.
So the mission of Jesus Christ was not to put us into condemnation. That wasn't the purpose. If we are condemned as a result of Jesus Christ coming, that's an offshoot and a consequence of us not obeying the gospel. But his purpose was never to condemn the world,
but that the world,
through him
might be saved,
because he is the light. He wants to take us out of the darkness. Read on.
He that believeth on him.
He that believeth on him, and you see the ETH? He that continues to believe on him
is not condemned. But he that believeth is not condemned already.
But he that believeth not
is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
So let me make an appeal to those who are hearing me who are not yet children of God. That if we do not embrace life that he brings, if we do not embrace the light that he brings to us, then we will find ourselves in a continued condemned state. And now we come back now to verse 19.
And this is the condemnation.
Pause. This is the tragedy. This is the part that hurts the very Godhead. This is that which puts all of what God has done before the inception of the world, that there was a plan to redeem mankind in Jesus Christ. And what we are told here now, and this is the condemnation. This is the worst of the worst now. What?
The light is come.
That the light is come into the world.
And
read fast, because I don't want to pause there too long. And you say this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. Full stop. that would send the wrong message. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and
men love darkness
rather than light.
Because their deeds were evil.
This is the condemnation, brothers and sisters. Friends, that Jesus Christ came into the world and he died to save you and me. The condemnation is that the light having come, we rather the darkness. Let's turn it on us, brethren. This is a grand, dangerous, humongous condemnation on each of us, that we have been exposed to Jesus Christ, but we do not behave as if we are in the light. This is a smack, a box, shatter box on God and his plan that he would have set in motion to save us, and that we would have tasted the heavenly gift, that we would have come into the family of God, that we would have been taken out of darkness and into light, that we would have been transplanted from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, that this would have happened, and then we rather darkness rather than light. It is a big box on the face of Christ and God, that having become children of God, that we are behaving as children of darkness. It's not pretty. It's not a good state to be in. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light. We should be conscious. We should be aware. We should be sensitive to the fact that as children of light, we cannot behave as children of darkness. When we recognize that we are in the family, we are on this trek where we are continuing to follow Christ. But when we are seeing that our inclination are towards darkness, then we should pull ourselves together, because that is not compatible with light, with darkness. Light means that we should be putting away the darkness. In fact, when we are in light, light automatically takes away darkness. So once we are seeing darkness and the practice of sin, you know, I touched on worship, you know, public worship. When we find ourselves in a situation where when we are not at worship, we feel okay. That's a sign that something is wrong. When we find ourselves, and let me give a rounded view of it, because we don't want to either to leave the impression that we can live any and any way, and then come on the Lord's Day and every time the church is meeting, I'm here and then I'm okay. You know, but I think most of the times we recognize that. So if we find that we are always lying, you know, we're practicing with thief, you know, we gamble, you know, they do picture and those things on Sunday, or that they get a break from it. They do it on Sunday too. All right. Okay, maybe say they do it on Sunday because she buyers already. All right, sorry, I can't trouble Mavis. But gambling, you know, we had looked earlier at things like envy, you know, and I can't in this lesson talk about all sins that exist. And the sin that you are struggling with might not be the sin that I am struggling with. We all have different challenges. We all carry the baggages that we started off with. So let us also not get too proud. You know, I'm not a liar. You know, I've never stolen a thing in my life. And those are good things. But are you bad mind? You're envious? These are some of the baggages that we carry over from the darkness, that as we come into the light, we should shed. But sometimes because nobody's seeing them, or because we are in our nice dress and suit, you know, these are not readily seen, you know, when we come upon the first day of the week. And we are here in the morning and in the evening, good. But what is your practice? Let us not get comfortable being in darkness. When we see darkness, let's get nervous. Because when we are in darkness, there is great condemnation. There is enormous tragedy in our way. So how did we get there? We have been examining that the church called out of what? And 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 and 10 had clearly highlighted to us that we are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, we spent some time looking at follow F. But let us revisit 1 John. Or let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. You know, we had read St. John 1, 1 to 5. All right, now we are at 1 John chapter 1. And we're going to pick up at verse number 5.
And the light shineth.
First John, chapter 1, you're picking up at verse 5.
Then this is the message.
Yeah, so this then is the message.
Which we have heard of him.
Yeah.
And declare unto you.
Yes.
That God is light, and in him.
All right, so you know, here's, let me see, let me look at my time. I want to do good time. There are several places where God is declared. You know, like we have, you know, St. John chapter 4:24. You know, God is spirit. You know, that's a declaration that this is who God is. God is a spirit. You know, we have, 1 John 4 and verse 8. Yeah, let's read that one. 1 John 4, 8.
He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
God is love. That's a declaration. God is love. And we love that one. Because we want God to be the God of love. And he is love. But let us not mistake that God is love, that God is also just. God is holy. You know, we like, God is love because, you know, persons will say, you know, because God is love, there's no hell. You know, because God is love, then no evil will happen to me. You know, we love to latch on to that. You know, but there are many declarations about God. God is. God is. But here we are seeing, you see that 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, it says that God is light. Declaration. God is light.
And in him is.
And because God is light, in him
is no darkness.
Is no darkness at all. God is pure. No, we are seeking to be like God. We are seeking to be godly. We are seeking to be Christ-like. So we don't want any darkness in us. That's what we are working at. That's what we are trying to get to a place or a state of being. But it is a continuous process. And even if we get there, you know, and say, boy, you know, from my assessment of things or whatever, and how I've been working at things, you know, there's no darkness in me at this time. You know, you can bet your bottom dollar that devil will work something to get some darkness back in you. You know, and there's no mistake in this passage, you know. So, you know, sometimes we can probably throw some things at ourselves. But let us look a little keenly on this. So the declaration is made that God is light. And then it says, in him, not in us, you know, in him is no darkness at all. So sometimes we are yearning to be in a state where there's no darkness. But that is really speaking about the state that God is. Because there's no darkness at all in him. We work towards that. But that is the state of God. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Then verse 6 continues.
If we say
that we have fellowship with him
and walk in darkness.
Oh, Lord. You see that continuous thing that we're talking about? Well, first of all, if we say, you know, when I start read certain things, I hear Selvin's voice in my ears, you know, and I remember his message. Paul say. So when I read this, I just heard Selvin's voice. If we say that we have fellowship with him, if we say that we are in fellowship with Christ, if we say that we have fellowship with the brethren and walk, you see the continuous? It's not that we are standing. It's not that we are here static. That if we continue, but in this case, again, we walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. What is the point? We cannot be in fellowship with the church. We cannot be in fellowship with Christ and continue to walk in darkness. You know, I can't be a member of the church. I may shock up. And let me drop this one, since it's so current and may trouble us in a few years to come. We can't be walking in the light. We can't have fellowship with Christ and being in a relationship with, as a man, with a man. We can't. It don't work. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And here's another profound truth that I'm not going to spend much time on. And we do not the truth. Here's the point. The truth is something done. The truth is not something that you just say. You know, let's speak the truth, speak it ever. But we have to do the truth. If we say we are walking in the light, then let us do the walking in the light. We have to align what we say to the truth. We have to align what we say to the truth of the gospel. We have to align what we do to the word of the Almighty God. But if we walk in the light, we are at verse 7. But if we walk in the light, and I don't want us to miss it again, the walk is a continuous state. If we walk in the light,
as he is in the light, we have fellowship.
We not only have fellowship with Christ, but we have fellowship
one with another. And the blood of Jesus.
If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You know, sometimes when persons are not in fellowship, and if you have to talk to them, you know, you are not in fellowship, we don't see you, you know, you have been absent how long, or, you know, it has come to our attention and we know that there are certain practices that you are doing in your life. And the member would look at you like, how can you be saying that? But it is your action that has brought you out of fellowship. It's not that we come and speak to you. It is your absenteeism from the public worship that has put you out of fellowship, that has put you out of light. It is your practice. It is your bad example that has put you out of fellowship. We cannot be saying that we are walking in the light and we are having practices as that of one that is walking in darkness. So, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins. Brother Webb, is what that you just read? I thought you were talking about Christians. What you just tell us, enlighten us about ETH and that it means continuous. So what you're talking about, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth, continue to cleanse. But wasn't I cleansed when I was baptized? Well, what we are learning here is that while we got cleansing at baptism, we still need to be cleansed continually. Why? Because as much as we are children of light, some darkness is still there. Because what? When it says in him is no darkness at all, it wasn't referring to the Christian. It wasn't referring to the called out. That's what we are aiming at. But we have to continually practice things of the light. We have to continually be in motion, walking in the light. When the darkness comes, we have to run from it. We have to perish it. And that's where the blood of Jesus Christ continue to cleanse us, so that we become fit subjects to remain. Let's read it again. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleansed us. Will cleanse us. Cleanseth. Continues to cleanse us. So it's not a once save, always save. It's not a, yeah man, I'm a part of the church. I'm in the light. And, you know, me good. No. We have to stay with Christ. We have to stay in the church. We have to continue faithfully. And that is when we get a chance to talk about we are walking in the light. It was only then continual cleansing is needed. But I want to change up tone to get this message across. We need to be continuously cleansed. We need continuous cleansing. Can I rephrase it? Continuous cleansing is necessary. We need cleansing as we continue. We are not static. We cannot be passive. We must be active, moving, running, progressing. Cleansing is constant. Cleansing is continual. You know, that's worthy to write on the board, but I'm going to move on. Constant, you know, it's three C's that I mentioned there. You know. Cleansing is constant. We always need it. Cleansing is continual. Cleansing is conditional. Can I rest there a little bit? Why continual? Read verse 7 again. Read it very slow, almost like you're counting the words. But
if we walk.
No, man, you're not doing it right. Come again. But
If we walk in the light.
You go too fast. Like, almost like you're counting the word. But.
If.
Stop. But. If. You see that if. That is showing condition. We cannot be guaranteed cleansing. It is conditional. What is it conditional on? Well, if we walk in the light, it is only then that we will have fellowship with him. It is only then that Jesus Christ will continue to cleanse us from all sin. Only if we walk in the light. So, we are proud. We are members of the Church of Christ. Christ himself built the church. I will build my church. Whoa, I'm a part of that same church? Well, that's good. That means you're a part of the called out. You're called out of what? You're called out of darkness. But it means that if you are going to get continual cleansing, where you can continually be in the light, then you need to walk in the light. You know, the implication of this is stated clearly in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, we must, not me, but that we must walk as children of light. Can we have that read? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8.
For ye were sometimes darkness.
So you were sometimes darkness. There's a lot of preaching in that too. You were sometimes
darkness.
You know, we all can say that at some point we were in darkness. We all can say that. Read.
But now are ye light in the Lord.
But now ye are light in the Lord.
Walk as children of light.
Walk, says inspiration. Walk as children of light. Walk, you must walk as children of light. It is not an optional thing. Because you have been transformed, because you have been taken out of darkness and into light, then you ought to walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. And then, does the verse end with a colon? It ends with a colon, which means that it's going to expand on what that means. And it goes on to verse 10 to tell us that because we must walk as children of light, then in that walk as children of light, then we are going to be proving that which is acceptable. Verse 10, proving that which is acceptable unto the Lord. So when we are children of light, we don't, as Brother Mitchell would say, we don't just go along so. We are called upon to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. We must be ready to give an answer. Anybody call upon us to ask us what's the reason for the hope that we have. So we have this responsibility to prove what is acceptable. You know, and once we recognize that this is accepted, then practice it. We are on a mission, you know. That, you know, we're talking about the implication of being called out of darkness. Verse 11 tells us that because we are to walk as children of light, then it means that we cannot have fellowship. Read.
And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness.
You see how it describes the work of darkness? It is unfruitful. It's very deceptive, you know. Because the darkness have this allurement that hey, this is the life to live. You know, oh, I can't do without it. But inspiration is saying that it is the unfruitful works of darkness. And then they say, well, we're not going to practice it. All right. We are called upon as the called out to not even be passive about the darkness. What are we told to do?
But rather reprove them.
Reprove them. So some Christians would want us to see the darkness in them and say, leave me alone, that's a mistake. Leave me alone, me not kill nobody. Leave me alone, me I try to live my life. But if we see darkness, then we have a responsibility to reprove, to correct, to guide, to help. That ought to be our disposition. That's the implication of walking as children of life. As children of light, then we need to walk uprightly. You know, it uses the word circumspectly. Verse 15. See then that ye walk.
That ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise.
So we need to walk upright. We need to conduct ourselves wisely. Don't act the fool. You know, I'm trying to play boaty. You know, I want to be juggling both sides. So I'm a Christian, but then I'm practicing or I'm not doing what the children of light are supposed to be doing. It can't work. Walk circumspectly, uprightly. We are told in verse 16 that it is important to walk in the light because there are opportunities out there. Well, verse 16 says,
redeeming the time.
Redeeming the time.
Because the days are evil.
Because the days are evil. It is. We need to make good use of the time. The opportunities that you have to bring somebody to Christ today, you may not have it tomorrow. There are influences in this world, in this Jamaica, that are going to make it harder, in a sense, to bring some persons to Christ. Little by little. I was having a discussion with somebody and I said that over the decades and centuries, we have benefited today. We have benefited from the work of many over centuries. When the church started, you know, there were a lot of things that were off. You know, we had slavery, we had polygamy, you know, homosexuality was in those times heavy. But Christian influence over the years have brought it to a state where, you know, on a first day of the week like this, most of us don't even have work for us to have any conflict. We can come out. We get the whole day off. That wasn't always so, you know. We have inherited that. But it's almost like we have now taken that for granted. And probably it's when we have to start hide and come to worship, we're going to realize what a luxury we had. But let me come back. Redeeming the time. Making best use of the time. That's what those who are walking as children of light does. They prove what is acceptable. They continue to reprove. They have no fellowship. They walk circumspectly. And they are redeeming the time. They are making the best use of the opportunities, including spreading the gospel. Because that's the essence of the big lesson. Yes. The church, the called out, we are called to call too. And, you know, there's a third part to this lesson. Because we have looked at the called out, that they are called by Christ. We have looked at the called out, that they are called out of darkness. While we have touched on it some, the third part of this lesson will be the called out for what? What is the reason for which we have been called out? We just called out, so. We are called out, and we are going to look at some four witnesses that will speak to what are we called out for. For what are we called? But let us, as Christians, hold fast to the light. Let us move away from darkness, because we have been ushered out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let us be standing as the brother comes with a song of invitation. What's the number?